This is Ozarks at Large. This week, for our segment Unlicensed Opinion, our weekly collaboration with OzarksUnbound.com, we took our equipment out of the studio, but not too far, a few blocks east to the offices of Walton Arts Center. Christopher Spencer, the owner and publisher of OzarksUnbound.com, and I met with Peter Lane, the CEO of Walton Arts Center, in his office. We discussed the future of the expansion for Walton Arts Center, the acquisition of the Arkansas Music Pavilion, and more. Last week, the sites under consideration for Walton Arts Center's expansion were whittled down to 15. I began the conversation last week by asking Peter Lane what's next in that process.
Well, a lot of hard work. We've spent the better part of the last few months really looking at our expansion site selection criteria. And this criteria, if you step back, is all derived from the feasibility study that we put together, or that was put together a couple years ago. If you recall, the site selection committee went back, looked at that feasibility study, pulled out all the most important criteria and said, okay, these are the 15 that are the most important. Here are the seven on top that are the most critical, the next three are the second most, and then the five. So we define them or redefine them. We prioritize them and said, okay, this is the matrix in which we want to look at all future sites. And then, of course, invited a number of people to participate. They were due August 2nd. And for the last month or so, we went through them as a staff to look at them from the lens of the site criteria to say what seems to make sense. And so, yes, we're now down to, I think it's 15, based on looking at that criteria through a more focused lens, if you will.
It's like the first round of interviews for job applicants. You've gone through, now you have the 15 that best fit that, get past that first hurdle.
Exactly, and I think the work now is for us to say, okay, the committee has given us the challenge to go out and now really begin to kick the tires on these 15 and do some heavy lifting. And we have a series of issues that they have, concerns about the sites. Right now we have 15. They're spread all over Northwest Arkansas. And there are questions about funding, infrastructure, political will, keeping our competitive advantage, neighborhood characteristics, proximity and experiential quality. So all these things are still right out of our site criteria. But now we get to go to that next level and say, which of these make the most sense? And we have some questions to ask owners, municipalities, and to get it down. And I think probably by the end of the year, forget the end of the year, I think within the next couple of months, that'll whittle down to a next sort of smaller subgroup.
So who are the decision makers when it comes to choosing the actual expansion location? I guess you have kind of an action group put together, maybe, and they look at it and then goes to the full board, or how is that done?
Yeah, the facility committee is made up of members of the full board of directors. We have 20 members of the community who serve as our board of directors. They have a fiduciary and governance responsibility to the institution. This facility committee, which is members of, are the ones that are doing, I would call, the heavy lifting on trying to ask the questions and get this process narrowed down. I'm really pleased they've taken this project on with a real sense of determination and seriousness. One of their mandates early on was we wanted to create a process that was fair, that was open, that really allowed everybody to participate, but was really clear and concise. And so I think they've taken their responsibility extremely seriously, and I think the process will just evolve. But they do the heavy lifting, and at some point, I believe, maybe at the end of the year, we'll have it narrowed down to one or two, and at that point, they'll make a recommendation to the full board, which would then vote on that.
Well, I do want to commend you on being as open as you have been in the process. I was pleased whenever all the proposals actually went up online, like the day after the deadline was done. That was so, kudos on that. I'm wondering, as we move forward and you do like site visitation or checking out a little more in depth, when is the next news release for the public about this process as it's ongoing?
Our hope is to have an update towards the end of the next month. I think we've got some questions that of some certain owners and that have to be conducted in a way that allow us to get the best response to the committee. But I suspect by the end of October we should have an update. We're targeting that as a time to try to get to the next committee meeting, so we have to have our homework done and by then. So that's, I think, a target that makes sense at this
point.
Will
that be a further winnowing down of the numbers, you think?
I would suspect. You know, I think the most compelling piece of this whole process that the Walmart Center is going through is that we're at a 97% capacity. Our theaters are actually jam-packed. We can't accommodate so many interesting things that keep coming onto our radar screen, whether it's a touring ensemble, somebody who wants to play a date, one of our resident ensembles that needs more time, whether it's the university or Theater Squared, and numerous other ensembles. What really pleased the entire Walton Arts Center team was the fact that we had so many people submit proposals. And quite frankly, many of them are extremely well done and very thoughtful. There's holes in some of them, and there's just questions to be determined, but the enthusiasm and the willingness on so many people to really want to be part of this has energized everybody on our team, and myself included, because it's made the process more fun, because people are just enthralled and excited about the growth opportunities in Northwest Arkansas for arts and culture, and that to me is really fun.
And the stakes are very high, obviously, as well.
Yeah, I don't see the stakes being high. I see it as this is just, there are very few communities in the country that are in an enviable position of being at capacity in an arts organization. That's a nonprofit. We raise 50% of our revenue as unearned revenue. To be at a point where we have so much opportunity to present that people want to enjoy arts and culture and that we need an additional facilities is kind of a really neat place to be in. This community in general has been so supportive of the arts, and they want more. And they've demonstrated that time and time again. And that is a very exciting place to be in. So I think the decision of where it will go will just be a natural fit for the natural progression of growth that has evolved over the last 20 years, and I still see growing here. This community is one of yes. Yes, we can. Yes, we can improve our arts. Yes, we can improve our health care. Yes, we can improve our education. And it's just really exciting to be part of it.
Speaking of new opportunities, you've just gotten board approval to purchase the Ozark Music Pavilion on the north end of town. What, that's a kind of a new audience for you, or what is that?
Yeah, it's really an exciting expansion plan for the Walton Arts Center. We've been looking at the Arkansas Music Pavilion for a couple years because it meets a lot of our needs. First of all, it allows us to do a couple things that we can't do. We can test the market. We can test it in terms of larger format concerts, larger audiences in one particular place. Two, it allows us to diversify our product line. I mean, we tend to do some contemporary music, but it really is a place where we can do more contemporary music. You know, in the summertime, so many of the great bands tour all over this country. And so that's a place where we think we can reach different audiences. I think it's also an earned revenue opportunity for us. One of the things I mentioned before is that we raise half of our revenue in unearned sources from fundraising. And we need, as we continue to grow, to find ways to earn revenue. So we see that as a potential opportunity there, too.
Profitable right now?
The general answer is it's doing well. But from our perspective, it's a combination of all those pieces. The opportunity to engage different audiences. If you look at the Walton Arts Center audience and the AMP audience, the overlap is pretty small. We believe by investing into the Arkansas Music Pavilion and the AMP that we can make that overlap much larger and begin to add some value. We bring some things to the table that I think just add value to that facility. And long term, you know, if we're looking at ways to make it successful in terms of operations, I think there's some cost savings with us working together. I think we can, over time, I think we're going to want to improve the site. I mean, the current owner, Brian Crown, has done a great job moving it from its, you know, sort of his predecessor level to now. But we see a large vision for that as well. And
potentially $1 million in investments was what I was heard. What I heard.
Yeah, we're looking at a number of different options. Okay. We have a plan to make an investment. We want to complete the sale. Make sure that and then get do some architectural renderings that make sense, and then make an investment in the facility that I think will take it to another level. Our goal is just to widen the spectrum of kinds of people that can go there and enjoy it. So we need to add some amenities and bring it up to yet another level. But we think it's a very exciting opportunity to work to really do the cultural entertainment scene in a whole nother level.
Mentioning widening the audience, one of the programs that has started this year is 10 by 10. 10 amazing, world-class artists coming in. Tickets at $10 a piece, far below what you might expect to pay. What was the genesis of this idea?
It's about creating an excitement around arts. Jody Beznoska, our chief marketing officer, had been looking at so many models around the country. And one of the things we realized is that we do arts really well here, but we also don't have every hall filled as we do for a lot of our more popular shows. So how could we create a real buzz around some of the finest art product and have people come and really begin to get exposed at a level that will drop that excuse that we always hear, well, arts are expensive. So we took it to a whole nother level and said, let's create a series, 10 by 10, 10 performances, jazz, dance, music, drama, the whole gamut, and make it $10. I think 85% of the tickets are $10, and there are a few more that are a few dollars more. But to make it $10 was really, the goal was to get people in from an access perspective and then help them understand this medium and get them part of the scene. And we're really excited because it was about the quality for me. You know, I love this idea, but for me it had to be first-class quality, and then we can make it affordable. It is affordable. It's more than affordable. I mean, if you buy a ticket to a 3D movie, it'll be more than this. But this is a great series to bring somebody who may not necessarily have heard some of these artists. It's okay that you don't stay for the whole concert if you're bringing your, you know, 15-year-old child or, you know, your grandchild or somebody, because this is an opportunity to hear some of the world's greatest artists. We know price points are difficult for people in this economy, but the access is really our first goal. And two, to build audiences for the future. I mean, that is really key. We know that when you see David Parsons Dance Company with the East Village Opera Company, where you're marrying first-class dance with opera, it's a unique and different experience. When you hear the Philharmonia Quartet Berlin, which is the principal players of the Berlin Philharmonic, arguably one of the best orchestras in the world, that's pretty special. Trey McIntyre, they've been here before, cutting-edge dance, really hot stuff. We sell tickets. We nearly sell the show out to make it $10 to give that buzz and excitement, and you can buy all 10. Kenny Barron, I mean, it just goes, the list goes on and on. It was about diversity, it was about access, it was about building audiences for the future.
So you think maybe with the 10 by 10 series, there might be people, in fact, maybe even a majority of people, who might be coming to maybe their first Walton presentation, or maybe just their second or third. I mean, they're not maybe your steady customer or steady person coming in.
We hope it's a combination of both. I really hope that folks that have always loved the arts will continue to come and be part of the audience. And for those who've never been, to feel comfortable enough that, well, it's $10. Let's go try it.
Peter Lane is the CEO of Walton Arts Center. Christopher Spencer, the owner and publisher of OzarksUnbound.com, and I talked to him in his office last week. You can hear more from the conversation online at our webpage, OzarksAtLarge.com, including what to expect from next year's version of Artisphere and what patrons have said so far about paid parking around Walton Arts Center. And just ahead on Ozarks at Large, the second part of this week's Unlicensed Opinion segment, including our weekly plugs. That's right after this break. And that interview was recorded last week inside Peter Lane's office. We're now back inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. I'm Kyle Kellums. Again, Christopher Spencer from Ozarks Unbound. Welcome.
Yes, it is opinion time.
It is. Let's start off with the fact that the AMP is now under the auspices of Walton Arts Center. I think it's interesting that since Peter's been here, there has been more partnerships and a growth of Walton Arts Center across the Northwest Arkansas landscape.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a collaborator. I mean, it came across in the interview that we were talking. You know, he wants to be, a regional leader. I have to say, he's, in 5 years, if he remains with the Walton Arts Center that long, we're going to be looking at a completely fundamentally different Walton Arts Center experience. And the fact that he's, willing to collaborate, I see as a real strong thing, not club and take over, but collaborate. For example, that Theater Squared partnership that emerged this year, that was, a recognition that, hey, Walton Arts Center does this really well, you guys do this really well, let's team up together and join our resources.
He also mentioned that he hoped by the end of the year we'd be down to one or maybe two choices for the site selection. And when you begin to look at that, this is mid-September. That's not that long from now. There will be a lot of hard work between now and then as they trim the, 15 possible sites.
Yeah, a lot of hard work and some hurt hearts, I guess, as people take their ball and have to go home because they're no longer part of the game. Trimmed down to, was it one or two, maybe three?
Yeah, not many. I mean, being close to the end of that part of the process.
Wow. And that, to me, that choice is going to be very fundamental in some respects. The gravity, sort of a cultural gravity, will potentially shift away from Fayetteville or be enhanced and further anchored here in Fayetteville. We shall see.
It also answered a question that you and I had previously is, okay, these were the proposals that have been submitted. Would there be a chance for the people who made these proposals to answer questions and maybe adapt? And obviously that's going to happen.
Yeah, it sounds like they're open to people coming in all the time. I mean, what Paul, the Marioni family, mm-hmm. they came in after their submission and then said, hey, maybe we won't charge. Maybe we'll just let you have it if you decide to keep it here. So there are modifications occurring.
All right, we started something the first week we ever did this, and we're bringing it back this week. It's called Plug or Predict. We each decide to plug something that we think is worth attention, or we make a prediction. Today you are...
Should I go first? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Offshoot Film Festival is gearing up, coming up in October, and next week, as a matter of fact, they're going to be announcing on Thursday, September 23rd, their slate of films. That's this Thursday.
Right.
That's Tuesday, Wednesday. That's 3 days from now. At the UARC Ballroom at that evening at 7 p.m. And you should make it. If you can stop by, it'd be great. We'll definitely be publishing the films that make. I hear it's going to be
56 films.
An incredible number of films. I think this festival, you may remember, Kyle, you remember the 540 mm-hmm. Film Fest? Mm-hmm. So that's still, I think, in action. But this is an offshoot group from there. Both groups received $4,000 from AMP this year. And it'll be very interesting to see how Offshoot develops. There's a lot of energy there, a lot of volunteer energy. So, let's tune in and see what the movies are going to be.
I'm going to make a plug as well. I like how you went to the high road and you went very cultural and film and documentary. My plug is for the same weekend, October 9th. It's the 22nd annual Mule Jump Championships in Pea Ridge. Have you ever been to this?
I have not, but I would love to see such a thing.
It used to be called the World Championship Mule Jump. They've dropped the World Championship from I don't know if it was ever distinctly the World Championship.
I don't know how official those rankings were.
But what happens is mules will jump, and you have to lead the mule up to a gate or something, and then you can't pull the reins. You can't force the animal over. You coax it over. And you say, come on, Buttercup, and you've got so many seconds. Mules don't always do what you want them to do.
Stubborn as a?
Yeah, although, I've been out there before, and the people who own mules tell me, that's a little overblown.
That's bad press.
Right, okay. Right. So, but it's Pea Ridge. You can make a day of it in Pea Ridge, but it's fun. All right.
All right.
Christopher, thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Christopher Spencer is the owner and publisher of OzarksUnbound.com. Our collaborations between Ozarks Unbound and Ozarks at Large can be heard most Mondays right here on Ozarks at Large.